What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com, where you can use the code FROGPANTS at checkout and receive a 240-gigabyte SSD drive to your system. That's FROGPANTS at checkout and get that free 240-gigabyte drive now. doghousesystems.com. Hey guys, before we get rolling here, I just wanted to throw in real quick and let you guys know the following program is a little bit different. Kind of like, you know, last week was a lore show with Terpster. This week is a conversation about game design, Blizzard's future, and the world of competitive play, which seems to be where they're putting all of their, all of the Blizzard eggs seem to be in the competitive play basket, ranging from Overwatch to Heroes to Hearthstone and even, you know, World of Warcraft PvP. And we want to discuss that at length, and so we did. It's me and it's Patrick talking about those things. If you're looking for the latest patch notes for 7.3 or whatever, this will not be the episode for that. We'll be back with a normal round table sort of panel next week, but for this week, enjoy this. We had a really good time talking. Always fun to talk about the more, I don't know, thought-provoking questions surrounding Blizzard and its games, and we do that right here. So tuck in, enjoy. Thanks. And welcome back to The Instance. This is a very special episode of The Instance with me, Scott Johnson, and him, Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, is that Feast of Wintervale. Winter Wonderland from Overwatch in my honor?
Incorrect. It is the Overwatch Tracer Heroes of the Storm combined theme. So you got a little bit of you got a little Heroes in there, you got a little Overwatch in there. Listen to that thing, listen to this. See, this part's more Heroes.
Nice, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, but it's awesome. I love it. Those guys.
Oh, right.
Those guys on the Heroes team. Well, it's Neil Akery and those guys that do music for lots of the games, but man, those guys are just freaking killing it with the music on Heroes when they try to do these combined themes of, you know, Diablo and Heroes in StarCraft and they just are nailing it.
It's fitting, though, because we're going to be talking about Heroes and Overwatch today.
Yep.
But before that, I do need to let you know that I had a very weird experience today.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear this, because what French people think is weird and what I think is weird often is very different. So let's hear it. What do you got?
So I wonder if you're going to think this is weird, but I definitely did. So first of all, apologies to the audience. I'm a little bit sick. I have a weird flu thing. So if I'm less energetic than usual, that might be why. Mm. And in Finland, apparently, when you start getting congested, you don't take medicine. You don't use any of that evil pharmaceutical things. Mm-hmm. You take, like, do you know that thing? Like, it's a sort of pipe that you fill with water and salt. And it's got a little nuzzle thing that you put in one of your nostrils.
Oh, yeah.
You twist it, and water with the salt goes through your nose and all of your cavities. It comes out the other side. It's weird. And my wife was like, oh, yeah, you can do that. It will clean your nose, and you'll be fine. And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to try. And I wasn't fine for like the time I was doing it.
No.
It was kind of better afterwards.
It's like,
you know that?
Yeah, it's like waterboarding yourself. So here's how those work. So over here we have one called the, oh, what's it called? Oh, shoot. The name just left my brain. It's
the nose boarding.
No,
device?
It's like, it's got a name. It's neti pot. They call it here. The neti pot. And I don't know what that's based on or originated or whatever, but it looks more like a little Aladdin's lamp looking thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's blue plastic.
Yeah, it's the same here. So the big caution over here is you're supposed to make sure you use distilled water and never tap water, because I guess it's possible that you get like an amoeba or something up in there and get like a brain infection and die. So you have to be careful, but other than that, and we'll just assume Patrick used,
maybe it's your like weird polluted American water. We have clean water here in Europe, so I think I'll be fine. That's what I'll keep telling myself. If I start, you know, replacing some words with others for no reason, just pretend like I didn't do it. I don't want to know. I just want to go quietly.
Okay? I always assumed all European water was recycled poo water, but am I wrong about that? I guess not. Is it, you have fresh water still there? Or is it all used up?
Yes, okay. We do have fresh water.
All right.
You drink Evian, don't you?
Yeah, we have Evian. I mean,
in the U.S.?
Yeah.
There you go. Our water, Scott, is so good that we actually put it in little plastic containers and ship it all the way across the giant body of water that is the Atlantic and bring it to you guys so you can drink it. That's how good it is.
I was under the impression that Avian and any other brand of bottled water was really just a tap in like New Jersey or Idaho or something. And they're just filling them up and saying what's in there, and it's not really anything special. I'm very skeptical, very cynical about the water.
These days, who can tell if anything is real, right? It might be completely fake water that we were convinced was actually from the Alps, and really it was just
French poo water.
Recycled poo water.
Yeah, recycled French poo water. All right. Well, we're going to do a little bit of a focus today. It's just Patrick and I. And like, you know, last week, Terpster and I did a third episode of the lore focus shows, which we really enjoy doing. And we're kind of in that in between time, not necessarily in between, but we're sort of late in the expansion by standards of like how much we'll be playing and that sort of thing in World of Warcraft. And what happens usually then is we end up drifting toward other Blizzard games, playing a little bit of competitive here, a little bit of Diablo there or whatever. And I thought it would be fun, and you had brought this up earlier, which kind of inspired it, but talk about the state of the competitive scene for Blizzard right now, what it actually means philosophically for the company moving forward. How is it going now? I have questions about that focus and whether or not that will determine whether we ever get another sort of adventure-focused piece of content from Blizzard. Is it always going to be multiplayer, competitive, online games? Or will they venture back into more story-driven stuff? And I mean sort of outside of the WoW sphere, because obviously those expansions have plenty of story content. But by its very nature, an MMO is all about, you know, massive amounts of players, hopefully doing things together, although you can solo much of what is there. Is Blizzard ever going to make Diablo 2 style games again, for lack of a better example, where it is, you know, a purely story driven adventure driven sort of thing that does not require you and four other people to do something? And I would argue even Diablo 3, despite, you know, it being a pretty traditional Diablo game in many respects, has evolved into a thing with their seasons content that requires you to get four people together and go out and blast through it and earn all the stuff. And if you do it alone, you're taking forever to do it. And there's no real story to adventure mode. You're just sort of going at it. So I don't know. I think those are all kind of interesting points. But before we get to that, your current playtime is split where? Like, where are you spending most of your time in the Blizzard pantheon of games?
So I guess for a number of reasons, for the last month or so, I've had, you know, different personal issues and stuff, and I haven't really felt like diving back into WoW, even with the recent patch. As you said, it's kind of this middle expansion time, and I don't know, it always feels like when I look at WoW, it's going to be a bigger time commitment for that day than another game. And even if I do end up spending, I don't know, a couple of hours in Overwatch or Heroes, in those 2 hours, I would have been able to achieve a whole lot in Warcraft. But for some reason, I'm like, I'd rather do something a little bit that requires a little bit less commitment. Mm. And I mean, it comes and it goes. And certainly I'm going to come back to WoW at some point, I'm sure. But for now, as you were saying, I'm more into Overwatch for sure. Those who have been following Overwatchers know that I'm deep into the competitive aspect of it, to the point that I might even have spoiled myself. Mm. I'm not Well, we can get to that. But yeah, I'm playing Overwatch a lot, Heroes a little bit, and not really Diablo or Hearthstone. So it's the competitive aspect has taken a hold of me for the first time in ever, I think. I've never really played competitive games at all. Mm-hmm. And maybe Hearthstone a little bit a while ago.
Has it soured you at all on single player focused games? Like, has this made you go, oh well, I could be playing, I don't know, Titanfall 2's enormous campaign with its awesome story, but why would I do that when I could be unlocking boxes and ranking up in competitive mode in Overwatch? Do you get that way now?
You know, it's very weird from a gamer's point of view that if you're playing a single player game, it feels like you're, you know, it's a limited time, maybe 10, 20 hours, you finish it and you've accomplished something. You can say, I have played this game and it's done, right? I've completed that experience. But when you play a competitive game, you can play a 100, 1,000 games and you haven't like completed it, but still I sometimes feel like I want to play that competitive game more than a single player game. And I'm not sure why, because I'm not accomplishing anything. Mm. And to an extent, yes, I think it comes and goes probably, you know, sometimes I only want to play on my PC. Sometimes I only want to play on my console. Sometimes I want to play single player games. But at the moment, there is this kind of drive, to play the competitive aspects of things. And when I look at my different options, when I have a little bit of downtime and I can play a little bit of video games or a lot, I'm always drawn to that Overwatch button or that Heroes button, you know? And I have a giant list of games on Steam that I haven't completed, but I don't know why. Yes, I think it has soured me a little bit. It might come back. I think it will. And to be honest, I've played so much of it that it might come back soon, because I think I've soured myself on competitiveness now. And it does something weird to your psyche, where, if I'm being honest, in the past few days, I haven't really even been enjoying things anymore. Mm. It's almost like in WoW, you know, sometimes you play WoW a lot, and after a few days, few weeks, few months, you log in. And you get that feeling, I'm sure every listener knows what I'm talking about. You get that feeling of, why am I even logging in? I'm not really, I don't know what I'm going to do in the game. I'm not really enjoying it all that much. And for Overwatch specifically, I have fought so hard in the competitive aspect that I'm getting to the point where I'm not really enjoying it anymore. The games I win are like, well, that's normal, and the games I lose make me sad. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be time to take a break from that. But, and I played Heroes, and I have things to say about that as well. But yeah, I'm in that weird, weird space, and I wonder if listeners also have been there for those competitive games as well. Have you?
Yeah,
ever?
I have. So this is interesting. I want to get back to this whole...
Yeah, single play. Yeah, yeah. Let's finish that first. Right. Will Blizzard ever do single player games again?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Will we ever get a game out of them that was like StarCraft Ghost was meant to be, which was this very single player focused game that was, you know, an entire crafted, curated experience around the player and didn't have anything to do with more people, either co-op or competitive? Will they even ever make a game without co-op or competitive elements, let alone a purely single player focused game? Yeah.
You know, I think there are two different things here. Blizzard employees do the games they want to do. They create the games, you know, as we often say, and as they often say, when they finish a game, they get together and discuss, what game do we want to do next? You know, that's what the teams do, team one, team two. At least that's how it's been for many, many years. Yeah. And if they want to make a single player game, I think they will. However, there is a very strong trend towards making games that are engaging in the long run. Mm-hmm. As I've said, if you make a single player game, you have 20 hours of it and that's it. And the engagement that the company gets from players with these games that have a long tail is invaluable because people stay in the game. You can monetize them a little bit more afterwards, either with an expansion or, you know, character packs or card packs or loot boxes, whatever it is. And that is extremely important as well from a bottom line perspective. So I think that long tail engagement is always going to be a factor in the way they envision their games. It's kind of hard to tell whether or not they will never make a solo game only, but it certainly doesn't look like that's what they're looking at the moment.
Okay, but if you swing, so okay, let's, I actually agree with that. I don't think we're ever going to see that again from Blizzard. I don't think there's ever a game they'll make that doesn't either have a significant multiplayer component or isn't entirely, you know, based on that. Like even in Overwatch's case, my prediction for that game is actually a pretty simple one. They keep supporting it for what it is. It continues to be important as a esport and as a competitive game, and the multiplayer aspect is the most important part. But I do think that at some point we're going to get content out of that thing that resembles more of a traditional sort of campaign elements, and that may be just small packs. It may be you know, a campaign pack per per quarter, and we pay $15 for those campaign packs or something, or it just comes with the game. I don't, you know, as a free download, or it's more, you know, like the Halloween event type content. But one way or the other, we're going to get more things that swing it that direction, but it will always be a multiplayer focused game. I don't think they ever make another game that doesn't at least have some multiplayer component to it. And those days I think are gone for them. And part of me is like, well, yeah, of course, this is the way of things. This is how stuff's going. This is where things are headed. And also they have a lot of proficiency in this. They're obviously good at this. And, you know, it's one of Blizzard's strengths. It has always been one of their strengths, but now they're really leaning into it, and that's what the future is. So I wouldn't blame them if we never got another single player game again, but I'm kind of sad about it.
But to be honest, when have they made a single player only game? Almost ever. I mean, even if you look at Diablo, it had a very strong, you know, Battle.net was revolutionary in its time. Mm-hmm. And Diablo was, I think, the first game to take advantage of it, maybe even Warcraft 2. I remember, I can't remember if it was 1 or 2, but I played my first connected game via direct modem connection. It was Warcraft or Warcraft 2, one of the two. So unless you go back to Blackthorn and the Lost Vikings and things like that, they haven't really had any game that was single player only focused. You know, Warcraft, StarCraft, Diablo, what else is there? And then you get to World of Warcraft and all of those. They all have a strong multiplayer component. So arguably, unless you count StarCraft Ghost, which we don't even know if it had a multiplayer element to it.
That's true.
Are there any solo-only games that Blizzard has ever done?
All right, that's a really good question. I would argue that that's true. Outside of, like, Blackthorn, like, we'll not go that far back, you know, like...
Yeah, I think if you count, you know, the life and death of Superman, you went too far.
You've gone too far.
Back away from the history.
Yeah, we'll go orcs v humans moving forward. Yeah, I would say you're right. Every one of their games has been primarily multiplayer focused, or at least had multiplayer elements. And the only ones I can think of that weren't are ones that were canceled. StarCraft, Warcraft Adventures, which was that whole point and clip. Yeah. That which never made it. That was a single player experience, and Ghost, by all accounts, was. They didn't talk about anything multiplayer, and maybe that's why. Like maybe in the end, everything that gets canceled outside of Titan has a single player focus, and they just never quite make it in that space.
You know, at some point, Morheim, or I don't know, I can see Pierce doing that a little bit more. Pierce shows up. And he's like, so what's the game you've been doing? And they're like, well, you play a ghost in the StarCraft universe. And he's like, do you have multiplayer in that? And they say, well, no. Scrap it. I don't like it.
Throw it away. Exactly. And they don't. It's not like they don't.
He doesn't speak like that. I don't know why I said.
You make it. Yeah, he's a real butthole. It turns out. Actually, I'm sure he's very nice, like everyone else. But the idea that they will you know, maybe I just have it in my head that they've got a proficiency toward that kind of curated content, because they've taken multiplayer games like an MMO. I mean, just remember, before World of Warcraft, there was plenty of MMOs, and what they all shared was a crappy story and characters you didn't care about, or no characters at all. You were the only character worried about it, and just massive amounts of respawning enemies that you would grind through to level up. And this,
I think you might get some angry emails about that characterization of EverQuest or Ultima Online.
Sure, but they had their moments, but nobody. But could you argue, like the Thrall storyline, just that alone, or just the leadership of the Alliance and the Horde, and all the intricate relationships and all the character types that have come out of this game and Warcraft 3 before it, it's pretty unique to the genre how important that is to the overall thing. They go out of their way to make sure that there is a thread, even in their weaker expansions, there's a big fat story thread that you get to follow. And I would argue that even in Overwatch, you have the same kind of thing. Like it's a freaking multiplayer shooter where, you know, Junkrat versus Junkrat on maps, and it doesn't make any sense. But they still have this semblance of a story. Like, you still watch it and go, man, I'm really interested in what's going on with Tracer and her relationship with
what you're saying is the story aspect is super important to them. And yes, of course, it is. But just like everything else in the game, they craft everything super carefully. And, you know, yes, there was a story in EverQuest and there was a story in Asher and Skull. What you're saying is those stories weren't as engaging. I was going to say what you're saying is those stories sucked. But what you're saying is those stories weren't as engaging. And maybe it's true. I think what Blizzard does really well is that they make super good popcorn type everything. Yeah. Gameplay is accessible and fun and deep, and it's like easy to get into. Story is, you know, you have big characters that are not always super subtle, and they're easy to understand, and the story is well conveyed. And but I think the story aspect is important to them in the sense that it's wrapping, it's around the gameplay of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't think they will ever do something without story, but it doesn't mean that, well, clearly, as we've seen with Overwatch, it doesn't mean that they don't want, they're going to suddenly make something only with story. It would be, I mean, who knows? As I said, the developers might decide, you know what, let's get together and create Myst for the modern age. Mm. I hope they don't, but...
I don't know. But I'd play Myst for the modern age, wouldn't you? I guess there is one. The guys that made Myst made a game last year called, I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be Myst for the modern age. But mm-hmm. No, people have always said, hey, you know what I'd take? I'd take a Skyrim-style Warcraft take from Blizzard.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Like some sort of next-generation engine and some beautiful fleshed-out world that's all about you and nobody else. I mean, that sounds kind of amazing, but I don't know that they'll ever do it because that's not a game that keeps selling content down the road.
You know, maybe there's a way of doing it and include content. Who's to say you can't do expansions for this and character packs or sell, I don't know, stickers or cosmetic stuff. But I wonder if they would resist the urge once they have, you know, they're thinking about a world like Skyrim to have some form of other, you know, interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the
I
way,
know, I think.
Go ahead. Reminded me of something. I don't want to forget. So let me tell you this real quick. Breaking news. I forgot to put this in. I was going to put this in the notes and I totally spaced it. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to say this is a win for Scott and his predictability, but maybe it is. I don't know if you heard the breaking news that Blizzard made a massive hire this week, a former executive at Mattel Corporation and Disney Infinity. Guys over there now working at Blizzard. Gee, I wonder if something like BlizzMeebos are really on the way finally. I don't know. Why would you hire a toy executive? Just saying.
Maybe because he has an expertise in retail and distribution channels and things like that.
Do you think,
Scott, he was the guy putting together the Disney Infinity figurines?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. I mean, he was there. He was there helping. I mean, he had some hand in it. But I realize I'm stretching a bit. But also, but it just seems like a kind of a big deal to hire a guy who is whose entire career has been focused on toys and some crossover with electronics and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe they're looking to beef up their merch store or distributing those in actual stores, you know, instead of just online. There are a million possibilities. One of them, however remote, is that they will create NFC-enabled figurines that will interact with your games somehow.
That's right.
A possibility.
I just wanted to put it out there.
If that ever happens, Scott, I think we will never hear the end of it. It will be, you know, you, me, Dills, and Terpster in the retirement home in 2070, and you will be like every morning with our nutritious paste that we have to have for breakfast because we have no teeth anymore. You'll be like, hey, remember when I predicted BlizzBebos and they happened? Remember that? And we'll be like, yes, Scott, we remember. We could not forget. You talk about it every single day.
I hope we're all cogent enough to remember it. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping everybody has got their facilities, their faculties still in place to remember things like that. But
you know how we'll remember it?
How?
We'll remember it because we will all have BlizzBebos everywhere around us. That you will have placed there.
Well, so for the record, I am also not the only person to have made, or not the only person to have read this and then, you know, jump to some conclusions. Almost every article that talks about this on business sites and otherwise have all suggested the idea that maybe Blizzard is going to get in bed with the toys brought to life genre, as it's called, or toys to life, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, it isn't just Scott here, but let's just say it happens. If it does, yes, I will rub salt in that wound until there's no wound left. Anyway, so where were we? So the point of all of this is this ultimately, I mean, are we okay with this? Like, there's no shortage of big single player AAA quality titles being developed by many, many developers. And even in those cases, some of them are venturing into more, you know, multiplayer aspects of things, and some have tried and gotten out of it. You know, Assassin's Creed had really interesting multiplayer with Brotherhood moving forward, and then they pulled it out and stopped doing it after the Black Flag expansion.
After Unity, was it?
I think it was
Black Flag. Had some multiplayer. I don't know how much.
Okay,
compared to the others.
It may have, yeah. The newer one, the one I'd like a lot, the latest one, I can't think of its name now.
Victory was the code name?
Syndicate, I think, is the new one. Or the
there you go.
Last one. That had none of that, but my point is, like, there's no shortage of games where I can just immerse myself and not have to worry about some chucklehead on my team or some other team being a butthole in the middle of the fight. That brings us back around to why you're so salty right now in your favorite game. Like, you're playing Overwatch like a madman, you're very competitive with it now, and you're saying that you may have spoiled yourself. I'm very curious about what you mean. So let's dive into that and talk about what that is, because I think I have some parallels to talk about with Heroes and even a little Overwatch, and I'm just curious about where you're at with it.
So the thing is, there are a couple of aspects to it. I really feel like I've been playing so much, I should be able to be placed higher than I am. Mm. This season, where the placement was a little bit wonky, I ended up placing in Silver. Mm. And it was a real blow because, you know, as everyone knows, I hope, because I've been talking about it enough, I played Overwatch a lot over the past year since the beta. And I felt like I wasn't, you know, it's not like, oh, I should be placed higher. It was more like, if I play so much and I'm not managing to be better than a silver level, what does that say about me as a person? Like, I can't achieve anything. Because even when I apply myself to it, I'm not being even in the middle of the pack.
Right.
So that was kind of a difficult thing. And so, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to see what's wrong. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get good, and I'm going to improve. And I did improve. There was some back and forth, but I learned everything I could about all of this. and applied myself and played a lot of games and ended up getting 500 SR points. And I'm now in mid gold. And I think I could keep climbing. But in the process, I've sort of been obsessing about that ranking so much that I have forgotten the joy of just playing the game and having fun. Everything I do when I'm in game now is looking at how to improve my placement or how, you know, I don't have a good enough accuracy when I'm shooting with soldier and I'm missing the target I'm aiming at. And when I win, as I was saying, when I win, it's like, finally I won one. And when I lose, I get not just salty, but like, oh crap, here's another proof that Patrick is not worth anything, you know? Mm. And you know, maybe there is some other factors getting into this. My mood is not the best since the beginning of the year, but so this is sort of where I am in Overwatch. And I went to Heroes because I've been playing Heroes here and there sort of casually, sure, for fun. Yeah. And I figured, you know, I've played a little bit and I haven't placed for like two or three seasons, so I'm just going to play the competitive matches, do the 10 placement matches, and we'll see what happens. And I don't care about that game as much as I care about Overwatch, so it will be fine. Whether I win or lose, right, it's going to be fine.
Sure.
Went in, played three games, which we won handily, yeah, the first three. Yeah. And I was doing my placements with and against people in like bronze to silver placements.
Yeah.
And then after winning the three, I went to playing with people who were silver to silver three. Mm. And I lost seven matches in a row.
Oh, my Lord.
Seven. And I was like, oh, crap.
That's demoralizing.
And so I was placed bronze two, which is high, you know, like mid-high bronze, is it? It's like not super low, right?
No, it's you're only a level away from getting out of it. Yeah, you're good.
Right.
I mean, you're good for a bronze. Yeah, for a bronze placement, that's not bad. It's
higher than, yeah, one is the highest in bronze.
Right.
So, and that also didn't feel great. because it was like, I'm not an expert in Heroes, but I think I've played a little bit and I sort of understand the core principles of it.
Yeah.
And I kept getting murdered by the butcher, and it was like he was charging me and was like, and I was dead.
He's
and for
worst.
One of the matches, I didn't understand how to even escape him. And yeah. So that led me to the conclusion that maybe I played competitive too much. One thing made me a little bit happier. It was when you said on Twitter that you and John and actually, you know, a few people are also in bronze, silver rankings. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so that means not everyone who plays a lot is automatically gold, platinum, and above.
No, it's actually one of my complaints about the game. It's not the game's fault, but one of my complaints is it's still sort of using my MMR and my stuff since I was playing in that alpha and beta and early release, and I was terrible then. I didn't really know what I was doing. Wasn't, you know, using Heroes to their capabilities or whatever. And I swear,
so you're blaming the game.
Well, some of that carries over. We don't know how much because they don't disclose, but we know it does because they've said as much that it does. And the question is how much. So I know that that's affecting my placements. However, when I play with some platinum players, I play with high silver players, and I, you know, we win games. I hold my own. I come out of those things MVP. I get good numbers. You know, I know I'm playing at their level, but I'm not placing in those games at that level. And it drives me crazy. So when I end up high bronze or low silver, I just go, ugh, what the H? I know I play better than this. Now, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't, and I just think I do. And maybe in your case, you're just the same thing. You think in Overwatch you should be doing better, but you just aren't because we're not as good as we think we are. But is it on these games to tell us somehow, convey that information that, yo, you are bad, or it doesn't just seem like you're bad, you really are bad, or you're not as bad as you think you are, your MMR is still affecting you from 7 months back when you weren't very good. Like some of that stuff follows you. I don't know how much of it follows me, but some of it does.
The thing is with the MMR thing, it's like Elo Hell. I think if you're really good, you will climb if you play enough games, and that I honestly and truly believe it. You might lose some games. There's this, I've been watching way too many videos about all of this. There's this theory in League of Legends that you can only really affect 20% of your games. 40% you're going to win because everyone else is better on your team, and 40% you're going to lose because everyone else is better on the other team, and you can only really affect 20% of your games. Mm-hmm. It's also based on the number of players in the team. I don't know how accurate it is, but I do think that if you're really good and you play enough games, you will climb over time. So I don't have this idea for myself that, oh, I'm really a platinum or diamond player, and I'm placed in gold because the game hates me. You know? Right. And I do look at the profiles of the people I play with in quick play, and they're very often platinum and diamond. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what the H, Blizzard? Mm-hmm. But if I'm being honest with myself, I do think, you know, when I play the games, I know when I'm playing well and when I'm not playing well. And when I lose, it's because I deserve to lose most of the time. Mm. So I don't know. I don't think, but to get back to your question, should the game be telling us more? I think there is a problem with online games where you always see the best players of everything. Think of it. If you're playing football or soccer and you're playing with your friends on Sundays, you know you're not as good as someone who's in some minor league somewhere, mm-hmm. and you're fine with it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When I play Overwatch, and I've been playing my first serious FPS competitive game for basically, you know, the game for a year, but competitive for 2 months, of course I'm not going to be as good as someone who's been playing FPSs for 5 or 10 years. That shouldn't be a problem for me. And yet it does affect me. So if there's something that they can communicate better, mm-hmm. maybe it's in that area. I don't know what you think, but like letting you know that it's fine not to be in diamond.
Right. This is right where I'm at. This is where my head is. Because on the one hand, you want these things to be, the whole point of competitive is you're trying to compete, right? So who's better than somebody else? And so they can't lose the competitive nature of these games too much. But on the other hand, how you feel in a video game matters. And if you feel like you're bottom of the rung all the time, that doesn't feel good. Even if you are. And I guess what I'm saying is, from a business standpoint alone, they need more people to feel good about what they're doing. And maybe that's why quick plays exist. That's why you don't have to, you know, there's nobody forcing me in any of these games to, you know, dive in and do competitive mode in Overwatch. There's nothing that says I have to do the ladder in Hero League. I mean, I just don't. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do it every time Hearthstone resets and there's a new card back available. Like, it's not a thing I have to do. But these are aspects to the game that we want to explore as we get better at them, right? So
well, you want to know how good you are.
I want to know how good I am,
And the problem is, what we hear, the game is telling you, well, you're silver, or hey, you're gold. And what we're hearing is, you're not platinum, and you're certainly not diamond, you scrub. And I think it might be partly our fault, you know? I wanted to talk about Hearthstone for a second, because Hearthstone does it pretty well, that conveying of you don't suck. You know, when you finish the season, they tell you, hey, you're in the 15% top players if you went to, like, level, I don't know, 12.
Yeah.
It feels like your 12 is not great, but it tells you that's actually a lot better than a lot of the people that are playing. And the problem in Heroes and Overwatch, I think, is that when you're silver, for example, you're probably in the bottom 80%, I guess, or 70%, something like that. Mm-hmm. which, you know, the game isn't going to tell you, hey, you're in the bottom, you're like 7th out of 10 in the class. Good job. And you're like, no, that doesn't feel right. But the difference is Hearthstone, almost everyone, and I would guess everyone, plays the quote unquote competitive, mm-hmm. because that's the default mode. You're always playing the unless you're training or, you know, you have a specific fear of playing that mode, you're probably going to be playing it. Mm-hmm. In Heroes and Overwatch, you're playing competitive out of probably, you know, 20%, or I don't know the number, but I'm guessing that only the top 20% or the most engaged 20% of the players are playing competitive. Right. Most people are probably going to be playing quick play and those unranked matches.
Yeah, like arcade mode and all that. That's what that stuff's
right,
for.
Right, and all of those. So when you're playing, when you're bottom, you know, when you're silver in Heroes, yes, you're probably bottom, you know, you're in the lower half of the placement and maybe even lower third or more. But if you compare yourself to the entirety of the population of the game, my guess is even a silver player is probably in the top half because they're applying themselves and all of this. I'm guessing. But so that's a hard problem to solve. But I would appreciate the game somehow, you know, holding my hand and comforting me and giving me a hug at some point at the end of the match and saying, it's okay, Patrick, you'll be fine. You lost that match, but really, you're not that bad.
Well, these games both do something nice. That I should say, or they've been improving, especially in Heroes, they've been improving this impression on an individual basis. So I'll play a game, even if it was a particularly hard game, we lost or whatever, or I didn't even feel like my numbers were up to snuff, it will still say, hey, just so you know, you killed more dudes that game than your old average. You averaged 5 kills and your average was 2.3 on this map in the last 30 days. Well done. Or it'll say, congratulations, you healed more damage as a healer in this fight than everyone else who has played your character in the last 30 days by such and such percentage. Like, those are cool. Those are really nice little badges. Yeah. And they, at the end of a hard loss, you're like, oh, that's great. So they're getting better at the individual and the moment-to-moment stuff. It's the overall, when you go into a 10-placement match, I mean, I've done this where I won 8 of my 10, and it still put me in low silver. Like, that's a bummer, man. Like, because you're still like, well, no, wait a minute. What is it counting then? Is it counting? It's not just wins, obviously. So it's more than that. Well, what is it? Well, is it how many skill shots I did or didn't make? Is it I could have capped the camp then but didn't? Like, there, you know, I don't know what factors are involved. And because I don't know, it's kind of like saying, hey, kids, come on in and take the ACT test. This will determine what college you get into. Best of luck. Well, what's on it? I don't know. Could be anything. We have no idea. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what to aim for necessarily. If it's not just wins, well, then what is it and how can I improve it? And some would say it's just a matter of playing and playing and playing and playing. And the kind of hours that my co-host on Core plays, like Bo plays a lot. And he is really good.
So where is he placed?
He's placed like platinum something.
Okay.
He's
John is silver.
John is silver like me. John's usually a little bit higher than me. You know, they're both. I mean, it's funny because as much as I'm saying it's hard to gauge, I can kind of gauge that those two. I certainly can gauge that those two are better than I am.
So, you know, that's the thing. I think if you think that John, unless he is also, you know, his estimate is that he should be in platinum. I don't know, but. If you know that they're better, that was one of the hard realizations when I got into gold and I was coasting on my way, you know, to, I thought I might get to platinum and all of a sudden things stopped and I lost like 200 SR points and it was horrible and I felt like the world was crumbling. But the reality, if I'm being honest, between the people I was fighting with and against in silver and the people I'm fighting with and against in gold, there is a world of difference. In gold, they are honestly at least as good as I am, if not better sometimes. And that is really hard to admit. You know, if I'm losing more, it's because they're just in a, you know, place where they're making me lose, and that's normal. Mm. But I don't know. I think the way the games, and you know that you're going to lose about half your games, but the difficulty is when you lose five in a row.
Yeah.
How do you not get tilted? And I think it might be cliche, but enjoying the voyage, not the destination, is the secret there. But it's really hard to do.
See, and I would argue, like, this is hard even in World of Warcraft. Like, there, what you're describing is something I've always struggled with, and not just in Blizzard games, but this idea that the competitive is supposed to motivate you to improve your skills, to get better, and climb a ladder, and win. And these things do that and whatever. And like you said, you get tilted but everyone always says,
sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I think that might also be a wrong perception for us. The goal is not to always climb the ladder and win. The goal, I think, of those modes is to be in a system where you have good matches, where everyone's serious about the matches. Mm. And maybe we should readjust our expectations there. Yes, you'll improve if you get better, but when you're placed, you're placed. Mm. And in order to improve, it takes like very serious dedication. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. You're getting in, and you're helping get to my point. Like, I get this way in World of Warcraft where I feel very, how do I put this? There's a lot of peer pressure in that game to level before anyone else, or at the same rate at least as your friends, to get the gear the quickest, to know everything there is to know about what heroic needs to give you what upgrade, what raid schedule needs to happen in order for you to, you know, not necessarily be world first. I'm not talking about that kind of competition, but, you know, to be able to go into a fight with somebody and not have an equivalent character next to you out DPS you by, you know, 9 million points or something. So there's that pressure. In Heroes, it's this, you know, I feel that kind of pressure in the ranking, or in the, you know, wanting to be better. And certainly I feel that way in Overwatch. What I wish I was feeling, and this is, maybe it's just on me and it's an attitude thing, and it's the journey, not the destination idea you're talking about. I need to get back to what I love in the first place, and then focus on those things. So in World of Warcraft, my love has never been who can get the most gear the quickest and how fast can I grind this out. That's not my interest, and it never has been. My interest is the world, the exploration, the character beats, the story, the questing. Like, that's what I love. And Endgame has never been as interesting to me. A kind of rinse and repeat thing is never what I was really looking for. Now, I'll do it, and it makes sense in certain situations, and I like being with my friends and all of that. But I always fall off.
It's fun for a while.
Yeah, it is. And I always fall off raiding after not too long, as my raid team can attest, because I just get tired of that treadmill. It's like, well, that's not why I came to this game. And the same thing is true for these others. And I have to remember why I play Heroes. I mostly play Heroes because of the incredible team fights, the amazing moments that happen in the game, and the uproarious laughter and good time I have with people, you know, over Skype or whatever I'm talking to them while we're playing it. Like, that's what I come to that game for. I come to Overwatch because I think it is one of the best crafted shooter experiences I've ever played, and it takes me back to my Quake and my Unreal days in a way that no other game has. And the minute-to-minute fight is what matters to me in that game, and I gotta stop worrying about a bunch of, you know, points that mean nothing. Like, they don't, I mean, they do, yes. They mean something, but I'm trying to get back to that. And it's hard, man. It's hard because they want me to do the other thing.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree 100% with you. Now, how do we do that?
Yeah, that's the question. Because here's the other, here's the other aspect of it. Those are all things that are there for me to have, and I can just go have what I just talked about in copious amounts. The fun, the fights, the good times are all there. But they have aspects to this game that make it so that I feel like what I'm doing is the easy to get into and not the hard to master. And what I love about Blizzard is the easy to get into, hard to master. I loved StarCraft, but I mostly loved it for the building and turtling up and playing terribly, but having fun. And StarCraft, if you want to play in any sort of ladder situation, is never that. It's, you know, send 1,000 Zerg over the hill because you have a build order that's impeccable or whatever. Like it's just a different, it's almost like a whole different game. And as it turns out, I don't necessarily love that whole different game, but I feel compelled to do it because it's there and they made it and I want value out of what I got. So I'm trying to do the things that are there. And by doing that, sometimes I get myself into a salty little corner where I'm irritated, yeah. You know, and I don't know. It's a weird, it's very hard for me to explain this, how it feels. And
I think everyone will understand it because most of the people who have tried competitive modes for an extended period of time have been in that situation. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we shouldn't deny this. There is value in getting into this mode where you're gonna, you know, you've played the game for a while and it's natural. You want to know whether or not you're good and how good you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to just play in a vacuum. And that's why people in WoW, the DPS players, love those meters. That's why you're going to install the mod that tells you, you know, my penis is longer than the other guys in front of me. You know, it's like, that's what it is. And even if you're, you know, if you're a woman, it's, let's say, it's an image, okay? Right. I'm not saying your literal penis, but... it's you want to feel like you're doing better, or at least that you're doing good. And it's kind of hard to get that feedback in without the hard numbers, or when you're playing quick play, you don't know, you might win a few, lose a few, you feel like you're doing well, maybe you feel like you're not doing well. But in the competitive mode, you have that feedback. It's mm-hmm. telling you how good you are. The problem, I don't think, is playing or not playing the competitive mode or not caring. It's about accepting that it's not the end of the world if you're not at the, or I mean, I don't know. It's not the end of the world if you're not at the place you feel like you should be, mm-hmm. or it's also not the end of the world if it's hard to accept that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we do it. Yeah.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
Because I don't want to stop playing competitive altogether. I'm going to take a break for now, I'm pretty sure. But I still want to be able to see, oh, well, all right, I did pretty well today, or I did well this month, this season, or I just don't want it to be dramatic and horrible and drama if I don't do well, and I don't know how to achieve that.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I know we're going to get some emails about this, and partly why I did the show was to get, you know, I want to hear what people say, because there's,
yeah, for sure.
Our listeners range from, you know, people who get into a WoW expansion, get to the new level, and then they quit paying and they don't play till the next expansion. Like, that's how they play the game. I have friends who specifically do that. There are people like me who love that part of the game and then peter out a little bit sort of mid-game or end-game and then wait for new content and then sort of get excited again and never end my subscription. And then there are people who are in every day for 10 hours a day in Warcraft alone. And then there's a whole other kind of player, again, like you and I, who are spending a lot of time, especially when WoW is not taking up our full time, we're spending other time in Blizzard games. And I'm really curious about how people perceive this. And I've got to think this isn't like Blizzard's not oblivious to this. Like, this has to be part of their conversation as they make design and work on games. They have to be sort of, you know, I had a lot of whiteboards talking about, well, what's keeping the player here? Why do they want to be here? What should they feel when they're done with the match? How do we have a competitive game where losing is part of it, not feel like a complete loss? And it's things like, oh, well, there's play of the game in Overwatch, and turns out even though your team lost, your Symmetra was incredible, and so here's the play. And the other team's like, Symmetra, you weren't even on the winning team. And then there's those times where you get 10 votes because everybody was impressed with your play, win or lose, and the other team even voted, and, you know, like stuff like that. So it's not like they don't make inroads in this way. It's not like there's not sub ways of making you feel good. But got to remember, video games are about fun and about that endorphin rush and about, you know, accomplishment. That's why they're balanced the way they're balanced. That's why that's so important that they nail it and get the feeling right and polish it to a fine sheen. And what separates great video games from mediocre and bad video games. And Blizzard does that better than anybody else. So they're, you know, they're no strangers to this. but it feels like a new level of we got to figure this out to make it so the players aren't, you know, I don't know. Maybe we're being entitled. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we need to take our hits, take our losses, take it on the chin, like Bo always says, and just accept the fact that 7 losses out of 10 is the way it went. And, to, you know, buck it's, up, yeah. and do better. I don't know.
I mean, I think those end of match things that Overwatch introduced were genius, and they help a lot when it's, you know, match to match. I think the competitive aspect of it is very different. Mm-hmm. The competitive part is the ranking and that obsession with the number. And, you know, I think it might be possibly like it is in WoW, in that, again, every WoW player has gone through that moment where we were talking about earlier, you log in, but you're not sure why. And you log in and it's not as fun as it was in the, you know, the early days of the relationship. And at some point you realize I don't have to do it. And so it takes a while to sort of understand how you approach the game and the relationship to the game. And maybe for competitive, it's a similar situation. I wonder if some listeners that might have been heavy into competitive games might send us feedback on that point. But maybe you have to go through that crisis in competitive to finally be able to, you know, go to your limit and realize, what am I doing? This isn't fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So you realize that you shouldn't care as much and maybe, you know, still play competitive and try to improve and try to do better and all of this, but take it for what it is. And I'm wondering if for players like you and me who are relatively new to this, like, engaged competitive mode of our respective games, we're just getting to that moment in our relationship with the game.
Mm-hmm. That must be. I think that's really true. I think that's
true. I
mean,
true. I hope.
I hope so, too. I mean, look, everyone out there who's just playing AI matches and heroes, I get you, man. I understand why you don't want to enter this world of flesh and blood a-holes on the other line being jerks while they play you and saying salty things and BMing you and everything else. I get it. I totally get it. But I feel like we're in a new era, man. We're in a new place where King of the Hill has to, you know, we got to show our strength. We got to show up on top holding the flag going, this is me and I win and I'm good. I'm better than you. And now I'm moving on. See you suckers. I'm on my way to gold or whatever. That's where we're at. So if we're going to be there,
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Cause that's where it feels like that's where we're at with online gaming. Now we're at a place where you're going to get poo-pooed on by some 14-year-old who's better at Overwatch than you. And you're going to stew about it until you hit gold, and then you'll be okay for a bit. And then you're going to stew about it until you hit platinum. And you'll never be happy unless you're platinum one. And even if you were, well, that means you're like a pro player and you shouldn't be here anyway and should be on the, you know, should be in the HGC or the freaking, you know, Overwatch League teams or something. Like the end game is a strange thing in this. Like, we want to compete and all that, yeah. But what's the end goal? Where are we getting, where's the end of the tube? You know,
like, I think that's a really important aspect of it too, which we do need to talk about. That doesn't end. There is, like, if there's something I've learned over the past few months as I've been exploring this wonderful world of competitive Overwatch and games in general, we're never satisfied. Mm-hmm. It's just like money, Scott. You never have enough. It's true.
Yeah.
You never have enough. You always think, you know, whatever your situation is like in life right now, mm-hmm. whatever it is, I guarantee you 90% of all of us look at the people who have just a little bit more and think, if I could have that much, I would be happy. And look at those guys that have a lot more. They have more money than, you know, they would ever need. Why? What are they complaining about?
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of the same thing for competitive any game. You look at the rank right above and you're like, if I could just, you know, I'm really a that level player. If I could get there, I'd be happy. But guess what? Everyone who's there, or 90% of the people who are there, are thinking exactly as you do. If I could only get to the next rank. So that is definitely a component of the competitive games mindset. And I completely understand that some people just, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's needed, or it's like it's part of the gaming structure of the gaming panorama. Mm-hmm. But you were sort of saying, you know, the people who play against AI and blah, blah, blah. In Heroes especially, I don't know if you remember, but when I started playing, was it last year or the year before? I played a lot of AI and it was so much fun. You know, it was versus AI with a bunch of people and it was relatively easy, but it was just fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying everyone should do it, but if that's the way you enjoy the game, I think it's fine. And sometimes I go and play against AI because it's just something I want to, you know, I just want to win and be guaranteed a win sometimes.
Right.
And you know, the worst part is
in
Overwatch, especially my win rate is above 50%.
Yeah.
Both in quick play, it's like 53 or 54, and in competitive, I'm at 52 now. And I started a disastrous like 40% win rate.
Yeah.
And now it's at 52. I've been doing really well, and yet I'm not happy. What is wrong with
these
guys?
Yeah, that, you know what you've done? You've exceeded their goal. Blizzard's goal is everybody's at 50% win rate. That's what their goal is. Because anything different than that means there's something balanced wrong. And that's also per character. Like the character balances that way. They want to do that with Heroes. If a character's showing that's only 40% win rate, there's something wrong. They need to buff him. If they're showing a 68% win rate for that character, they need to nerf it. So it's not, they're no stranger to this. So even when we hit that threshold of this is right about where I should be, winning half my games or so, it still doesn't seem like it's enough for some of us. And that's the idea,
listen,
I guess.
My main character in competitive in Overwatch is Soldier 76. My win rate in competitive with him this season is 59%.
Oh.
It's insane. It's a really high win rate.
It really is, yeah.
So two questions. First of all, why am I still not happy? And second of all, why am I not in platinum? Obviously, I'm a platinum player.
Yeah.
60% win rate. What is wrong with you, Blizzard? It's ELO hell. It's the ELO problem. It's not ranking me well.
No.
It's Blizzard's fault.
Yeah,
where's Jeff Kaplan?
We're all soldiers.
Gotta go
now.
Wrestle him.
Yeah, wrestle Jeff Kaplan and pin him down. Put your elbow on his face and say, we're all soldiers now. Do that. All right. I think that's probably good. I really wanted to do this, and I'm glad that the opportunity afforded itself. Just an aspect of the Blizzard pantheon of gaming that we don't get to talk about very often. And also news
and
is
I
a little dry, generally speaking, so it's nice to be able to explore some of these hypotheticals and some of these, I don't know, more heady, you know, thought ideas around game development and what it means to keep your player base happy, but at the same time promote good, healthy competition. And I'm going to make a quick recommendation for Heroes players specifically. If you're looking for a voice out there who is Platinum 1 every season, but plays and portrays himself and also behaves generally as one of the most humble guys you'll ever meet, I would follow Kyle Ferguson. You can find him at Kyle Ferguson on Twitter, and then you can follow all his stuff from there. But Kyle,
he's above platinum, isn't he?
He's
like
whatever.
Isn't he like he was rank one?
Yeah,
and,
he's
and
been
master and whatever.
Yeah. He's always top dude always, and he's extremely good and can eyeball a team comp and know exactly how things are going to go. Like he's extremely well versed in the game. But this is a guy who will say, "Hey, we need to try the strategy," and we'll all get wiped. And he will say, "I mean, that's rare because he's so good," but he'll say, "Oh, it's all right, no problem, that was fun, let's try this other way." Like, he never gets tilted, never goes a different direction. He is always positive, always, even with a loss, like, "All right, well, no big deal, this is great, let's play another one, that was totally fun. This next time, let's aim to get so-and-so, I think that maybe will help us, but we'll try it and see." And this is in competitive team league games I play with him on Saturdays. Like, games where you have to be playing hard and trying hard and doing your best, he has still got this attitude that is really rare in gaming in general, let alone competitive online MOBAs and games like that. So just a recommendation, follow Kyle. There's some very Zen-like quality to it. I feel like I'm playing with the Dalai Lama or something. And it's great. He's great. And
I will second that. I've been listening to ITN with Garrett and Kyle for a long time. And basically I listen to Core and ITN, even though I play Heroes only a little bit.
Right.
and Kyle is. I mean, all of you guys are super cool. I love, you know, I said this on Twitter a few days ago. John's Dear Martha moments are some of the best podcasting comedy I have ever heard. Yeah. I don't understand how he wings it like this.
It's crazy.
Improvises. It's amazing.
Yeah. The irony is he's terrible. He's terrible at it if we plan it. He's really good at it if we just spring it on him. It's crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like I can hear it in my head, like, Dear Martha. It's incredible.
But besides that, and I don't want to interrupt, so I want you to keep going, but I want to just, this is all indicative of what I think is happening in the Blizzard games. And maybe this is ultimately what we're talking about. Blizzard is fostering good community. And while there are always going to be salty wieners out there, generally speaking, especially with the podcast community and some of the video community that are around these games, it's a positive, good place to be where a player doesn't have to feel like an outcast or a noob or a whatever. And I think that's important to note, and I'm proud to be part of it. Like, I think, you know, the instance has certainly tried to be that for the last 10 years, but also just generally speaking, with this advent of all these new games, you're hearing so many positive voices and so much less negativity and fighting and infighting around Blizzard games and its community. It's really heartening to me. And maybe I'm missing all the underbelly because I don't see it every day, but I feel pretty good about that aspect of things. Anyway, continue with what you were saying.
The podcasts have always had this weird quality on the internet that the communities around them, at least, you know, some of them, ours basically, but no, in podcasting in general, it are very welcoming and warm and kind. I think it's a common quality. Maybe it's because the listeners, you know, as listeners ourselves, we also hear the voices of the podcasters, and that creates a proximity and intimacy that makes it harder to be an a-hole. But yeah, getting back to, you know, John and Bo are amazing on core. Scott's all right. Kyle and Garrett are really cool on ITN. And as you were saying, Kyle is like, and he's really, if you want good advice, he's awesome. Like, no matter your level, Kyle gives awesome advice for how to improve, how to look at things so that, you know, half of the things I've learned for Overwatch came basically from Kyle when he was talking about heroes. Maybe that's why I'm not climbing as much as I think I should.
Maybe. But he's really good at that stuff. He ought to be. He should coach football or basketball or baseball or something like
that. Yeah, he's like a coach. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's really good.
But yeah, it's really nice. But one thing I will say about core, and I did say this to Bo on Twitter as well, so it's not like talking behind his back. The last NyxOpera D.
Yeah.
Has become really complex.
Yeah, it really like, has.
The rules. I didn't understand any of them, and I had forgotten the beginning when he was getting to the end. It's getting a little bit out of hand, I would say, the next Opera D thing.
He's currently in patch mode right now, so I think a lot of we're not really talking about it now, but coming up at GDC, you may hear some things about the new Nixon. No, I'm just kidding. But he's got ideas, and he's always tweaking it, and I love it. Yeah, it's really fun. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, Core is over at frogpants.com/core. It's an entirely focused Heroes of the Storm show, and you may be interested in that if you would like to check it out. And of course, Kyle and Garrett can be found on ITN. That's Into the Nexus. Also, a fine podcast for Heroes lovers everywhere. All right. I think that's good. I got one email real quick here. This came to us from Nick, and he says this. Hi, Instance Crew. Since I got bit by the PC Master Race bug again, we've built a really high-end system. Yeah. And don't worry, my tongue is firmly placed in my cheek when I say PC Master Race, he says in parentheses. I am appreciative of the move to in January's patch of Diablo 3 to move the engine from 32-bit to 64-bit, as it seems to take better advantage of my hardware and will allow full future expansion of the engine going forward. I'm wondering, though, about WoW's engine. While they seem to be making progress by the fact that it is now properly using multiple CPUs, it still seems rather antiquated, even for a 64-bit engine, as it only uses about 40% of my GTX 1080's horsepower and rarely can even hit 60 frames per second. I am not hitting any hardware bottleneck. WoW just doesn't know what to do with the extra horsepower. How big of a team does Blizzard dedicate to moderation of its old engines, and what is realistic to expect them to be able to achieve in the future? I.e., could we see a complete rewrite of the engine in the future to allow the game to continue for another 12 years? From Nick. All right, Nick, that's a great question. They've got...
They have 23 people dedicated to the modernization of the old engine. Exactly.
Is that true? That's not true. We don't know that.
No, of course it's not. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, as we say on Core...
That's a good question.
It's a great question. I don't know. Like, maybe it's one guy for all we know. I doubt it. But, I mean, they have great engineers, and that engine, while pretty innovative in 2004 and many changes and tweaks to it to make it better and better since, is still... by many measures, a bit antiquated. You know, it's not a high polygon engine. It's not doing the kinds of things that your new video card wants it to do. But if you remember in 2004, even then, and Patrick, you'll remember this, the game...
Patrick remembers.
The game launched to... one of the criticisms was, oh, they're not going for photorealism the way EverQuest 2 is. That sucks. Man, I don't want a cartoon engine. Lame, whatever, my hardware will do better than this engine will do. And that was happening on launch day. And that's just Blizzard's thing. They want as many computers to run that thing as possible at the time and now. So there's still part of that in there. But I'll agree with him in that the engine is, you know, it's long in the tooth. It's maybe time for something rad to happen with it. And I don't know what that is, but something, you know?
I don't know. I think it would be interesting to know how much of the power of the back then graphics card the engine was using, you know, those old, I don't know, Voodoo 3D or whatever back in 2004. That might be a little bit older, just a tad. Yeah. but the engine is definitely old. It's been improved, as you mentioned, with every expansion. They improve significantly the capabilities of the graphical engine. I doubt any machine from 2004 could run the game the way it is now, even if you put everything down at the bottom in the settings. So it's also a very specific situation. You're using, you know, the most powerful graphics card there is, more or less, and trying to run a game that is designed to run on any machine and take full advantage of your graphics card. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't know if the engine has been modernized. I mean, it's very possible that they're being held back by the fact that the, you know, the structure of the engine is old and there's only so much they can do to improve it. And maybe that will end up being a problem down the line. I honestly think that just as likely is the fact that they're just improving it as much as they should. And that's the kind of engine that Blizzard runs for WoW and for all of their games. You know, I don't think Overwatch would use much more than 30% of your GTX 1080's horsepower. I don't think any Blizzard game would. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that it can't hit 60 FPS. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I suspect there's something wrong there because it should go way above 60 FPS. In most situations, I would think, with that kind of equipment.
Yeah.
So I'm getting, I don't closer, know about that. It's never going to look incredible, but
I'm getting, mean, closer.
It looks, to, I think it looks incredible. I'm, it's never going to look photorealistic.
But I have a 980 Ti, and I'm getting something in the 100 and something range of FPSs. So something may be up with his setup. I don't know. That's might. That's a little bit weird. But
do you get everything like settings at max?
Oh yeah, max on all and everything, okay. Including all the. What do you call it? The post-processing stuff and all that. Everything's cranked to the maximum I can do it. And I have zero glitch slowdown, even in the busiest cities. Never dips anything below, I don't know, probably 80 or 90 FPS or something. And I don't even know if the human eye can perceive anything past 60, but...
Yeah, you can. Actually, the pro players, there was an issue in Overwatch in the tournament where they didn't want to play because they couldn't get 90 FPS on their machines.
Oh, wow, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, they canceled. They left.
Real quick point to make about what was the big card to have in 2004. All right, you ready for this? It was the if you were buying the best card money could buy in 2004 to run World of Warcraft, you would be buying a NVIDIA GeForce 6800 Ultra. It had 256 megabytes of RAM on it. That seems old now, but at the time, that was the bomb. Let's see, what else? It did, its core clock was 425 megahertz. It supported a maximum resolution of 2048 by 1536. It's not bad.
Hey, that's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah. And then two monitors it supported. That was a big deal that year. Yeah, this was, and it was about how much money? It required Windows 2000 or XP. and it was a total of about $499 at the time. And you can now buy them used for about $234. So why you would do that, I don't know. But anyway, there you go. That's 2004 in a nutshell there, folks. Nick, thank you for your email. You can send your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. We should have a normal-ass show next week. Hopefully there'll be a bunch of news and stuff to discuss. So we'll get to that next week right here on The Instance. In the meantime, Patrick, tell people where they can find more, Patrick.
I guess if you want to be supportive, maybe you can send if you're less than gold in Overwatch, let me know. Send me a tweet at NotPatrick on Twitter and tell me, hey, I'm silver. You're better than me. You're awesome. That would be appreciated. If you want more Overwatch discussions, you can go check out Overwatchers, which is our Overwatch show with Garrett and Chris. It's available at amove.tv. And if you want, yes, I will say it. If you want reasonable political conversations, I would encourage you, I would enjoin you to download and listen to the Phileas Club. That's a show that I do every month or so, but we did two shows in a week, one Saturday, one yesterday. One was, I would say, left-leaning to neutral, and one was with a couple of conservative friends. And we have polite conversations where we disagree, and of course, there are a lot of things to disagree on with the current things happening in the U.S. But if you think that it's impossible to have political conversations and debate that is adult and mature and well thought out, then I can tell you you're wrong, and I'm going to prove it to you by having you listen to the Phileas Club. Go to frenchspin.com and check it out. I assure you it's possible, and we should have more of it.
I completely agree. And Patrick clearly works very hard on that, to give equal voice to those who have dissenting opinions, and it's actually kind of impressive. I think I would just freak out every time. So the fact that he can do that is just shy of a miracle.
I freak out inside my head. Maybe that's why I'm doing poorly on Overwatch. It's all that pent up frustration that's coming out, and I can't do things properly.
You are at least platinum two in your political discussion. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you.
It's not.
I really wish I was diamond. That's the thing. I just can't be satisfied with it.
Well, keep working. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for joining us. We like doing these little things, like the lore show last week. They're unique little pokes at stuff that we don't always get to discuss at length. And we hope you guys enjoyed it. Of course, your feedback's always encouraged. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address. And go to theinstance.net. That's theinstance.net. You can find all the subscription stuff there. You can find the show at Instance Show on Twitter. Me at Scott Johnson, of course, not Patrick, on Twitter as well. And more shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for those two other chuckleheads that aren't here this week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.